This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Today I'm joined by the Secretary of Labor and Regulation, Marcia Holtman, and our Department of Health Secretary, Kim Malzahn-Risden. A couple of quick things before I turn it over to Marcia, who's going to update you on some things that are going on across our state. This morning I had a phone call with the Vice President talking about supplies and lab testing capabilities throughout the state of South Dakota. And then I also followed that up with a conversation with Dr. Burks about getting supplies that are necessary to be more aggressive in certain communities and across the state on testing. So those were encouraging, and I appreciate their help. They've been absolutely amazing about being responsive to some of the situations that are going on, not just in South Dakota, but across the country. I wanted to talk a little bit about our Economic Development Loan Assistance Program. It's a small business loan program that we passed legislation for on the last day of session, veto day. And that fund was set up by Senate Bill 192. So we are working on getting those loans out the door as soon as possible. They're small dollar loans, really, for these small businesses to patch them through this difficult time. They're from about $5,000 a loan up to $75,000 a loan. We have done just about a little bit less than 100 loans so far. They add up to $5 million, and that's roughly $3 million that have already gone out the door to help these small businesses across the state of South Dakota. The different industries that have gotten relief from these loans so far are hotels, restaurants, retail, tourism, manufacturing, and many, many more, from communities such as Keystone to communities like Sioux Falls. All the details for these loans, how they are decided, the loan criteria, the processing details, all of that will be on covid.sd.gov on the website. So if you're curious about these loans, how they're working, how they're approved or denied, that criteria will be on that website for everybody to look at. I also want to touch on the CARE-19 app. We've had a lot of folks asking us the last week or two when it would be available for Android phones. It is now available for Android phones. So previously you had those capabilities on your iPhones, and now you can also, if you own an Android phone, download the CARE-19 app so that you can participate in some of the capabilities there to make sure that you're helping us with contact tracing in the state of South Dakota. Now I'm going to turn over to Marcia, who's going to give you an update on where we are for unemployment and regulation in the state of South Dakota.
Thank you, Governor. For weeks, we have been talking about the unprecedented unemployment numbers and the claims that we've been seeing in the state. And I will tell you that we continue to see high volume, and we will have new numbers to report on Thursday, as we do every week. And it's come to my attention that I'm no longer asking individuals to be patient with us, because I understand that patience is wearing thin and that people are really anxious to begin receiving these benefits. Instead, I'm asking people to just please be considerate. The reality is there are many claims in queue to be processed. And so for the public to please remember that the person answering the phone is not responsible for the rules or the regulations or even the delays or the determinations that may be relevant to your claim. And they are sincerely trying to help you as we work through and navigate this process. We have been training staff across the department who don't normally work with unemployment insurance to help take calls and process claims. And by utilizing existing DLR staff, that is really the quickest way for us to staff up. We're taking individuals that know something about UI, they know something about our mainframe, they know something about our computer applications. And we find that training them to be able to take and process claims takes about a week, whereas if we were to hire somebody new off the streets, it would probably take upwards of 30 days for them to be able to even begin to process anything at a basic fashion. So we're very sensitive to the needs and the demands and are adjusting our numbers appropriately. We have added capacity to our call center and have greatly reduced our wait times in our call center for taking claims, and we are now looking at processing claims. So I'm really not trying to be defensive, but rather I'm just trying to set realistic expectations for the public so they can know what we're dealing with and therefore they can plan accordingly. So the good news is 74% of the claims that we have received have been processed and paid in a timely manner, and about 26% of the claims that we receive have had issues. And so if a claim has an issue, it does increase the average time to get a payment. For the 74%, it takes about 14 days for somebody to get a first payment. But for the other 26%, it may take upwards of 4 weeks before you get that first benefit. The issues that we're seeing with claims are things like there's a question about the separation from the last employer. Did you quit? Did you leave? Were you fired? Were you laid off? Was it COVID-related? There may be information about wages from another state that we have to collect from that other state. So all of those things take time when we're processing. And oftentimes, individuals are unfamiliar with the system, so they've actually entered their own personal information incorrectly. And whenever we have an issue like that, it requires a human to touch that claim, to interact with it, and to process it, and to consider or keep it moving through the process. So again, it can take up to 4 weeks to process a claim if there is an issue. And again, we're working on training more and more staff. We've trained 20 staff already to help with that process. We have another 20 that we're training this week, and next week we'll be training an additional 20. So we realize that that's an area that where we need to focus, and we are doing that with our staff training. I would tell you that for the week of April 13th through the 17th, we paid out $11 million in state benefits and an additional $9.6 million in the federal benefits. This put us at $20.6 million back into our economy last week, and the week prior to that was $8.5 million. So in 2 weeks' time, we have been able to pay and process over $30 million worth of benefits for the citizens of South Dakota. One other thing I would like to just clarify, we've had a lot of questions from individuals that maybe had a full-time job and a part-time job. A really typical scenario might be somebody in peer that works full-time for the state and maybe waits tables or has a part-time job on the weekends. If you lost just that part-time job but still maintained your full-time employment, you're most likely not going to be eligible for assistance. So it created a lot of confusion when we said individuals with part-time jobs might qualify, but those are the individuals that part-time job is their only employment. So just want to clarify that for individuals. We did start yesterday in taking PUA claims, which is the pandemic unemployment assistance. And those are the claims for individuals that are independent contractors, small business owners. I know we had a lot of interest in that program, and it's now up and running, and those claims can be filed. I'm proud to say that we were one of the first six states to have that up and running. And so, again, we're doing everything within our capacity and increasing our capacity every day as we speak. And again, just ask you to be considerate when you file those claims and to be working with us so we can help you get everything done as smoothly as possible. So with that, I'll stand by. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcia. With that, we will open it up to any questions you may have. Go ahead, Bob.
Governor, is there anything you can do about the car races?
The car races that are going on in southeastern South Dakota? The question from Bob is if there's anything that I can do about the car races. I can encourage people not to go. I don't think it's a good idea for them to attend. I still recommend that we follow the plans that I have laid out for South Dakota, where we don't gather in sizes of over 10, and that folks continue to social distance if they're not feeling well to stay home and to wash their hands. So, certainly that is something that is coming up in the future, but I would encourage all South Dakotans to continue to follow the plans that we've laid out that I've given to South Dakota in the executive order that I recommend we do to continue to flatten the curve.
If I could follow up on that, we in the media are hearing from an increasing number of people who are pushing back on us, saying that this is all being blown out of proportion, they're ready to get over that, and what would you say to them?
Well, I would say that nothing's changed. From the projections that I laid out several weeks ago, we still expect that our peak infection rate and hospitalization rate will happen the middle of June. That means that we need to continue doing what we're doing today, and that is staying home, not going out and taking unnecessary trips, not gathering in large groups, that we have to practice the social distancing of staying at least 6 feet apart. And that's incredibly important. If people no longer do that, then we have an opportunity for virus infections to spike and to increase. And if everybody were to ignore those guidelines at one time, we could potentially overwhelm our healthcare system. So I'm going to encourage people to continue doing what they've done for several weeks, and that's take this seriously, protect themselves, their families, and their communities, and stay home. Is there a question on the phone?
Kevin, News.
Oh, I did not know who any of those people were, so we'll see if one of you can power through.
Todd Epp, Tello.com okay. News, Governor.
Go ahead, Todd. It's no surprise it's you that powers through.
Thank you. Two questions. One for you, and is Kim Molson-Reisden in there?
She is, yes.
Okay, so the first question is for you, and it's about the racing. Do you take any personal affront to the people going ahead at the racetrack with this race, considering all that you've said about social distancing and trying to flatten the curve?
No, there's a lot about my job that I choose not to take personally. But I am going to strongly recommend to the people of South Dakota that they not go and that they stay home. It is wise and smart to continue on the path and the plan that we've laid out for South Dakota for several more weeks.
Okay, and this one's for Kim. Story was out today that Halfway House, the Arch in Sioux Falls, has 14 positive tests of residents and 2 positive tests of employees. I've got it on pretty good authority that the 2 employees have never been contacted by anyone, be it the state of South Dakota, the city of Sioux Falls, or even their own management. Can you shed any light on the situation at the Arch and why those folks haven't been contacted?
Todd, thank you for that question. I'm not aware of any individuals not being contacted. Our process is when we get positive lab results, either from our own public health lab or commercial labs across the state or even out of state, is that we make contact with those positive people most of the time within that same day, for sure within 36 hours. And so I will certainly go back and look into this situation. I am not aware that there are 14 cases at this particular location, although we have reached out because we do know that there has been at least a handful of cases among residents of that facility. So I'd be happy to follow up on that. I would question anybody that is not able to share kind of how they found out about their positive test results.
And just to follow up, Madam Secretary, should the people who work there, the employees, should they tell their fellow staff members that they have tested positive?
Well, again, there's guidelines for what to do if you test positive. You should be quarantining yourself for 14 days. That would be first and foremost. And so in those kinds of situations, we would tell people to stay home. Stay away from other people, self-isolate even within your home setting so that you're not getting other people sick that that you may share your residence with. So that would be first and foremost. We also work with employers on what they need to do to help make sure that they have a safe workplace for their employees. And so in situations like you've described, we want to make sure that people are practicing good hygiene on a regular basis, that they have symptom checks for employees as they come in, if that's appropriate. So there's a lot of things that can happen at the workplace to help keep people safe, and we work with employers on those strategies as well.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. And I think Steve Groves from the AP was trying to get in, so I'll cut him some slack.
Thanks, Todd.
Yes, go ahead, Stephen.
I wanted to ask about the situation with Ms. Seals. You had previously said, I think on April 13th, that most of the spread had happened in Ms. Seals' employees' homes. And I wanted to ask how you knew that and if you stand by that as far as that's how the spread happened.
We certainly have been talking and visiting with folks around the Smithfield situation. And when the facility is shut down, that if there is spread happening, then it would be happening in the community. We believe that to be true, and we're continuing to take and action and work with those on the ground and some nonprofits in the community to make sure that we're giving folks all the materials that they need on what they can do to protect their families and their neighbors as well.
Just to follow up on that so that I'm clear, the initial outbreak was primarily within the Smithfield plant. and that what you're saying is after the shutdown happened, then the concern is that it would be in the community.
We did have positive cases of employees and contacts that were positive pretty quickly as well. So we knew there was spread happening outside the plant as well, because those contacts we were making as a Department of Health contact tracing protocols was identifying those individuals as well.
Governor Noem, this is Morgan at the Rapid City Journal.
Sure, go ahead.
So on Fox News last week, you said that 99% of the spread of COVID among the workers at Smithfield was happening in their own homes, like Stephen says. I mean, where did you get this number? Was this from the Department of Health or CDC? Who told you this?
We are continuing to work with Smithfield and with their employees and their family members and community members to make sure that we're aggressively testing and that we're isolating those who are testing positive so that we can slow down the spread.
But is that 99% accurate that you shared on national TV?
We can continue to look into the percentages, absolutely, if that's what you'd like us to do.
Okay, I'm just wondering if it's fair to say then that it was occurring, you know, in apartments and buildings, and then that was shared, you know, widespread. It became a national headline of that it was happening in their own home. I just want to be sure that
at the time of closure, that certainly would be where the spread would be happening, because there was not employees in that plant.
Yeah.
Is there another question on the phone? I think I heard somebody else trying to ask a question.
This is Andy from KCAU down here in Sioux City.
Yep.
We spoke to the Union County Commissioners earlier today, and they basically said that there was nothing that they could do to shut down the races this weekend. I guess my question for you is, are you worried about the message this might send to other out-of-state promoters that want to hold events, you know, that have this many people in the state of South Dakota?
Well, we're going to continue to carry the same message we've carried throughout this entire COVID-19 response we've had across the state of South Dakota, and to encourage people to stay home. We did, during the legislative session, attempt to bring a bill that would give counties some of the authorities that cities would have, but the legislature did not support that bill. So I think the county is probably accurate in saying that they wish they had a few more tools to deal with the situation, but from the state level, and what I'm recommending is that people not go. That we still have several weeks ahead of us where we need to continue to mitigate this situation and to take action to make sure we're protecting the people of our state, and I would encourage folks to stay that course.
So,
go ahead, Seth.
I was just going to follow up on that same topic. Mm-hmm. You say you're strongly recommending people don't go to these races. Can you do anything stronger than that? Could you order the races not to go forward?
Well, I'm going to.
Is there anything else you could do, and will you?
I'm going to continue to recommend that people not go. That will be the course of action that I'll be taking. Is there a question in the room? No? On the phone? Or Bob, go ahead.
Any news from the CDC yet in terms of a Smithfield report?
Yeah, we still don't have the final CDC report in regards to mitigation actions that Smithfield can take. So as soon as we receive that report, we'll be making it available for all of you and the public.
Governor Katz, one more question.
Yes. Go right ahead, Stephen.
So as some of the larger trials for hydroxychloroquine come out, you know, it looks like some of the results are mixed. I saw one today that they said they didn't see a demonstrated difference in patients that were given hydroxychloroquine, and they actually reported more deaths. I'm wondering, do you see it as important to go ahead with this statewide trial? Would you consider other trials for other treatments that would be possible?
Stephen, this is Kim Olsen-Risden. So the team that is working on the trial and then the registry study in South Dakota is certainly looking at all available studies to inform the work that we'll be doing. We have very robust safety protocols in place to help make sure that anybody that participates in South Dakota will be safe. But we do feel like it's appropriate to continue to move forward. We think the drug holds great promise for both the treatment of folks that are positive, and we're excited to see if it also has a preventative or prophylactic effect as well. The one thing I guess I would also add about studies is for everyone that you see out there, you really have to kind of go through the fine print and the detail to understand how different studies are structured, understand different types of hydroxychloroquine that might be used and in combination with other drugs. So more than often, the studies aren't very comparable.
And I do believe that Sanford indicated they were doing other clinical trials as well at the same time. So this is not the only clinical trial that they're participating in and conducting.
I had a question for Marcia.
Sure. Go ahead.
In terms of perspective, what you've paid in the past 2 weeks or this week or the last 2 weeks, how does that compare to, say, a year ago at this time?
Payments for a year ago at that same time would have been around $504,000.
So it's more than 20 times.
Correct, which is consistent with the claim numbers that we've seen as well.
Thank you.
Further questions? Okay. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.